Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Ksubos Nun Hey. We are on the bottom of Nadal Adam and Beis. Perhaps let's go back to the two dots, which are six lines from the bottom. Imrotz al Hoysef Vichu. Back to the Mishnah. We have the base Ksuba amount, 200 zuz for the Besula, and then the Mishnah tells us. If a husband wishes to add imrotz al Hoysef, he can add that supplemental amount which is called Tosefes Ksuba. Says the Gemara, if we pay close attention to the wording of the Mishnah, we find something interesting. How does the Mishnah describe this fellow? Imrotz al Hoysef, if he wants to add an additional supplemental amount, which sort of rides on top of the base amount, which sounds like it's not just a gift that he's giving her. It's not just a matana. Rather, it relates to the ksuba. It's part and parcel of the ksuba package. And it will have the same dinim as the base amount of 200 zuz. Rotza lichtev lo, like Tommy. The Mishnah doesn't say he decided to write, to commit to her, to give her a gift. Ella, rather, Rotza lo hoisef. He was looking to add, to enhance the ksuba, to expand the ksuba commitment beyond the 200 zuz. And this is a raya, misayayale l'rav aivui omar abi yanai. It's a writer of Aivui. The omar of Aivui. Amar Biyane, Tanai Ksuba, all the additional components that we find in the Ksuba. For instance, the Mezonos, obligation to the kids after death. Likewise, Toisefes Ksuba, this supplemental additional amount, Kiksuba Dami, is equated with the base Ksuba amount, with the primary, elementary obligation of the Ksuba. We don't separate the two. It's in the ksuba, it's treated as such. Now, how would this have practical ramification? Nafkamina, we have 14 nafkaminas. We treat the tesefes like the ksuba with respect to lemoicheres, an isha who sells her ksuba. The tesefes gets sold along with it. Ulemoicheres, she forgives her husband the ksuba payment. The Tesefes is included in that Mechila as well. Lemeredes, an Isha, who rebels against her husband, we start deducting from her Ksuba. We deduct the Tesefes Ksuba as well. Ulepay Gemes. A fellow says, I paid you the Ksuba. She says, no. If she admits that she collected part of the Ksuba, then she has to make a Shvua. She has to swear to support her position. Even if she's only admitting to having collected part of the Tesefes Ksuba, the same halacha kicks in. L'tevas. An almona after her husband's death is entitled to mezonos from his assets until she demands ksuba payout. If she demanded l'tevas ksuba, the same halacha triggers. Uloiveres aldas. An isha who's exhibiting inappropriate behavior for her bas yisrael, she loses the ksuba and l'tevas. L'shvach. A fellow passed away and his assets have risen in value, they were enhanced and improved upon. So the Isha wants to collect her ksuba, she cannot take it from that additional shavach, only from the ikar, the kaka that he left behind, but not from the added value that came later. L'shavua. So whether she's collecting the main ksuba or the tesefes, this halacha would apply, she can't access the shavach. L'shavua. There are many cases where the Chachamim impose a Shvua. You have to swear to collect your Ksuba. This applies to the Tesefes Ksuba as well. Ula Shvius. Typically, Shemitah nullifies a loan. It cancels, it revokes a Chayv. But not Ksuba, and not Tesefes Ksuba as well. Ula Kaisev Kol Nachasev Lebonav. A fellow, upon his passing, commits all his assets to his sons in writing, and he actually he earmarks a field for the Isha as well. You can access that field for your Ksuba payout. Halacha is that she can only collect from that field the Ksuba and the Tesefes Ksuba as well. Umin haziburis. What type of property can she collect? Only the most inferior quality property. This is discussed in Gittin. And just as this applies to the ksuba, it applies to the supplemental part as well. V'chol zman she bevei savia. The halacha is, we're going to see this later in the Masechta, if the almana goes back home to her father's home, she can still collect the ksuba payout until 25 years. That's the halacha. This applies to Tosefos as well. Ula ksuvas b'nin dichrin. Finally, this is the 14th nafkamina. In order to encourage a father to be generous with his dowry offerings to his daughter upon her marriage, we promise him that those items, the ksuba material, the nedunia material, will stay in-house, will stay with his family, will go over to her sons instead of her husband's sons, if there are two sets of kids. So just as the dowry material goes there, the ksuba payout goes there, the tosefes ksuba payout as well. So bottom line is, tosefes ksuba is treated kikesuba, like the actual ksuba, pertaining to all the halachas of ksuba. And here we have a list of 14 nafkaminas in total. Continues the Gemara. Once we're on the topic of ksuba aspenin dichrin, here comes a machlekes. Itmar. Ksuba aspenin dichrin. So her sons would like to claim her ksuba material. Can they actually claim from fields and properties which were sold throughout their father's lifetime? It's called nechasam mishubadim, unavailable properties. Can they go ahead and extract that due to their claim? We have a machlekes. Pum padisa amri, the yeshiva and pumpadisa held, leitar from a mishabdi, no. You can't collect from nechasa mishubadim. Why? Yarsin tanan. Because the husband promised his wife that your sons will inherit, will be yerish, your ksuba. Well, a yerusha doesn't come from nechasa mishubadim. They take what's available. They don't go to their father's buyers and take their properties away from them. Here as well. If it's available, they collect, otherwise not. However, B'nai Masa Machasya Amri, the Tamid HaChamim in the Mata Machasya city, they claimed otherwise. Tarfam Mishabdi. You can take from Nechasa Mishabadim Yizbuntanan, because he promised that your sons will take. They have, just as a Baal Chayv can take, they have the same type of right. They can access even properties which I have sold throughout my lifetime. Yazbun tanan. What's the conclusion? V'luchasa loytar from mishabdi yarsin tanan. Our girsa is yarsin, and therefore is treated as a yerusha. If it's available, they take it; otherwise, not. Here comes another machlekes between the pumpadisa and the bnei mata machasya, regarding an entirely different din. So typically, an isha who would like to collect her ksuba payout after her husband's death must make a shvua. Why? We're concerned that perhaps her husband had already given her something in advance. Perhaps he earmarked, he designated some items for her to hold on to ensure that she collects her ksuba after his death. So she must make a shvua that she never got anything. Suppose we know that this fellow did designate some metaltalin, some items, and they're still here. After his passing, the car is right here, and she wants to take it for her ksuba. B'loi shvua, there's no need for her to make a shvua. This is what he gave you. This is what he earmarked. The assumption is he didn't give you anything else. Why would he? So take it, and zaygazunt. Lesnu beinayu. Suppose husband designated some items, and they went missing. Now it's after his death. And she'd like to collect her ksuba from some other assets that he left behind. Does she have to make a shvua? Pumpadisa Amri, in Pumpadisa they said, below shvua, there's no need for shvua because chances are, most likely he didn't give her anything else. Since he had already designated something for her ksuba. So why does she have to make a shvua? The assumption is, he didn't give her anything other than that item. That item is lost. So she can collect from other items. However, Bnei Masamachasi Amri, they claim, Bishvur, she still has to make a Shvur. You never know, maybe he gave her something else as well. V'ilchas Abalei Shvur, the halacha is, there's no need to make a Shvur. We trust her that she didn't collect her Ksuva Payat and doesn't have anything that was deposited by her husband for that sake. Yichad La'ara, suppose he designated for her a field. This field will be your backup for your Ksuba payout. And he was very specific in his description. Ba'arba metzronoha. He delineated the four borders of that field. A very specific field, and he surveyed it properly. Yeah, on the right side it borders this landmark, on the left side the other landmark. It's very clear cut what her shibud would apply to. She knows exactly what she's, what the collateral is. Balei shvuah. Then when she comes to collect, no shvuah is needed, because this was her collateral, this was her shibud. Chances are he didn't give her anything else aside from this, so she can collect her ksuba from that. Bechad mesrel. Suppose it wasn't so clear in the way he described this field. He only described, you know, one border, one boundary of the field. In which case, it's not so committal, it's not so clear, it's not so pronounced. So in this case, perhaps she wasn't so reliant on that. She wasn't so secure that she'll actually get from that field. In this case, perhaps he gave her something else as well to serve as a collateral. So after his death, does she have to make a shvua that she has nothing else? Pum padisa amri, below shvua, no shvua is needed. Chances are, aside from that field, he didn't give her anything. Bnei matamachasi amri bishvua, she must make a shvua to collect, vilchasa below shvua. One more halacha, amr la edim. A fellow tells edim, look, kisvu v'chismu v'havale. I want you to do me a favor. Take out a paper. I want to give away my field to Shimon. Write him a shtar, sign it, and give it to him. Okay. Konumene. If they actually made a kinyan with him, a kinyan sudder, they gave him a handkerchief, etc., to solidify and confirm this matana. Loitzarech imluchibe. Then there's no need for them to come back and double-check and confirm with him whether he actually wants them to hand the shtar to the recipient. Because the fact that he made a kinyan indicates kinyan, write it and give it over. It's a full commitment. But if no kinyan was done, simply instructions about writing a shtar and that's it. They didn't go further than that. The question is, do they need to go back and check with him whether he's still interested in giving it away? Or can they just give the shtar to the recipient assuming nothing has changed? So we have machlokes between these same shitas. Pum padisa amri, they claim, lo tzarich imluchibei, there's no need to go back and check with him. And Rashi says, stam kinyan, l'ksiva imed, when you make a kinyan, you're serious. You want it to be recorded and handed over. No need to double check. B'nei masa machasi amri, they maintain, tzarich imluchibei, you still have to go check with him, v'lchasa d'alocha is, in fact, tzarich imluchibei. Back to the Mishnah. A fellow provided some Tesefes Kesuba, but then something went amiss. During Erusin, during the engagement period, they separated, be it via divorce or death. She collects her Kesuba. What about the Tesefes Kesuba, the add-on? Tanakama says she gets everything. It was committed. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari disagrees. The umdana, the mindset, the presumed assumption is, sure, he was very generous, if you marry me. But at this point, it's still premature. That's not what he had in mind. So sure, the base amount she collects, but not the sefes. Itma, we learned, Rav, verbenos, there's machlekes between these two amirim. Chada amar halach, Rabbi Elazar ben Azari. One maintains, we follow Rabbi Elazar Shita. She only gets the Tesefes after marriage. V'chad Omar, the other one maintains, Ein Alocha. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari, we don't follow that Alocha. Who said what? This time, you can conclude, the Rabbi Nosson who the Omar, he's the one that holds Halocha. Rabbi Elazar ben Azari. Why? The Shamin and Lay, because we know the Rabbi Nosson, the Asabas, Basel Basel Omdana. we have already heard elsewhere. The Rabbi Nosson is of the opinion that when something is not really clear, Beis Din will sit down and assume, and appraise, and estimate, and conclude what this fellow had in mind. Likewise, in this case, we assume he meant to give it only after marriage. Where do we see that Rabbi Nosson subscribes to the concept of umdana? The Amar Rabbi Nosson, halacha, k'Rabbi Shimon shezur Rabbi Mesukim. We have a Mishnah in Maseches Gittin. The fellow is in a frenzy. He's running out to the caravan that's about to leave. He's running out to the ship, and he throws out a line. He says, Rabbi, he said, write a get for my wife. But he never concluded with the word, give it to her. The fact that he's running out explains why he was short in words, and we write and give it to her. Rabbi Shimon adds, he enhances the halach, he elaborates on it. Even a mesukin, a fellow who's deathly ill, should this fellow just say, write a get to my wife, we take it, we write, we give it to her. We assume that's what he meant. And Rabbi Nosson says, we follow this Mishnah. In fact, we also followed up Shimon's add-on. Even Mesukan, you know, he's not running anywhere. Why would he have to skip on words? But the umdana is, he's certainly trying to spare her from any issues after death. He's trying to give her a get ahead of time. So although he didn't actually verbalize the word tenula, give it to her, it's a presumed assumption, and we follow through. So that's the halacha. Ubetrumas masa shodmai. This is another quite unrelated halacha. We also follow Rav Shimon in that case. Rashi explains, typically when you purchase produce from an unlearned fellow in Am Aretz, in which case you don't know whether he had already addressed a truma and maser, you know, obligations. So the item is called demai, right? It stands for demai. What is this? Undefined, unspecified, unknown. There was a takanas chachamim that you meant to go ahead and separate, for instance, the Trumas Maser, etc., from that Demai. And what happened was, this fellow separated the Trumas Maser, and then it fell back into the pot. Typically, when Truma or Maser falls into a collection of non-Truma material, it turns into the Meduma. It's a mixture. You can't just go ahead and eat it. You have to sell it to a Kain. So, what does he do, this fellow? It was Trumas Maser of Demai, and it fell back in. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says, look, since the whole thing was only an uncertainty, it was a suffix, maybe the Am Aretz really did already do the Trumas Maser, in which case your Trumas Maser was really futile. Really just not Trumas Maser, right? So we go ahead and we ask him. We go back to the Am Aretz. He says, could you tell us about the status of this produce? And if he tells us that he had already taken care of the Trumas Maser, in which case we just want to be matter the rest, and we say, look, there was no need to take up Trumas Maser, and whatever I did now today was really pointless, and the fact that it fell back in to the rest of the produce, no harm was done, I can go ahead and eat it. Okay, so this is a kula from Shimon Shazuri. So bottom line is, in the first halacha we see the concept of umdana, the assumption, conclusion, based on a person's mindset, and Rabbi Nosson takes on that opinion. So we assume that Rabbi Nosson, likewise in our Mishnah, will follow Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion, which is based on the umdana factor. So you're assuming that Rav disagrees? He doesn't subscribe to umdana? Actually, he does. Well, itma, we have another discussion elsewhere regarding a matnas chshivmara, a fellow who's deathly ill. The Chachamim tell us, if a fellow in that situation chooses to give away his assets, his belongings, you don't need to make a kinyan. Divrei Shrivmara kiksuvim ukim mesurim dami. It's as though he wrote it and he formalized it and he documented it and he gave it away. Why? The Chachamim were very concerned. You want to keep him calm. You want to spare him of any anxiety. Sure, what you say is what we do. Your word is gold. So that's typically the halacha applied to a shrivmara. You don't need to make a kinyan. You don't need to make a shtar. But there's a downside too. If he should recover and get up from his illness, he gets back what he gave away. Because I only gave it because I figured the worst was coming. Right? So now, matnas shchivmara, shekasa bokinin. So they actually decided to record it in a document. The shchivmara instructed us such and such, give away the field, the house to this person. But there's a kinyan inside the shtar. It says that they actually made a kinyan. something which is not typical for Ish Chivmurah, who does not need a kinyan. The kinyan factor is typical of a healthy person. So now you have a shtar shchimara, which has within it an extra element, extra credit, something which is more typical for a healthy person and a proper kinyan. How do we deal with this shtar? Bebei Rav, in the Beis Medrash of Rav, Mishmei de Rav Amri, they quoted Rav as follows. Great. Arkevei Atrei Rikshi. So the Shchiv Mara rode him on top of two mules. Basically what it means is Rikshi, by the way, is a pasuk in Esther. Rech v'harechesh. Some sort of mule, some sort of animal upon which you ride. So good for him. He was doubly empowered. He got the standard Matnas Shchiv Mara, which has its own benefits, we're going to see in a minute. And he has the aspect of an ordinary, conventional, typical matana, which has its own benefits. Ushmul Amar, no. Shmuel says, I'm in a quandary. Lo yadana may edubay, I'm not sure how to deal with it. And the Gemara explains, Bebei Rav Mishmei de Rav Amri, Rav holds, Arkevei Atrei Rikshi. He was doubly empowered. He has everything. Harei kematnas bari, we treat it like a gift given by a healthy person, which has its own advantages. And this is due to the fact that it says kinyan in the shtar, which is reminiscent of a typical gift. That's on the one side of the coin. On the other side, harei kematnas shchimura, he has the advantages of a matana given by a shchimura. Explains the Gemara. Harei kematnas bari, it's treated like a matnas bari. Dim amad, this fellow should recover, Bezes Hashem. Ein yachal achsbar, he can't retract his matana. A shchimra can go back on his word because he only gave it, assuming he'll pass away. But a bari, whatever he gave. Here as well, if this fellow should recover, the recipient can still hold on to this field. So that's the ma'ala, that's the advantage of it being considered a matnas bari. On the other side of the coin, he has the other advantage as well. Harei kematan shchimara is considered like a gift given by a shchimara, shem amra. Hava osi l'plaini. Should the shchimara declare, you know, I'm a creditor, right? Somebody owes me money. I am now transferring that halva, the rights to claim and collect that loan, I'm giving it to Shimon. We listen to him. We accept that instruction. Halva also plenty, it gets carried over to the other fellow, which is something unique to a shchiv mara. Rashi explains, by a bari, you can't do that. You need to make special kinyanim. It doesn't work like that. So this fellow, he has all in one. He has everything in the same shtar. He has a matna shchiv mara, he has a matna bari. Ushmul amar leidanim ha'edumei, I'm not sure how to deal with it. It's an oxymoron. You can't have a matnas shchimara with a kinyan. Why? Shemaloi gomer la knesi el b'shtar. The fact that there's a kinyan in this shtar perhaps transforms it to an ordinary document unrelated to the matana of shchimara. Like a regular matana, a regular shtar, in which case we have a problem. Ve'en shtar lachar misa. You can't activate a shtar after his death. Right? A person during his lifetime, he can write and give whatever he wants. But suppose a person writes a shtar today, and it's only meant to be activated after his passing, such as by a shchimara. He didn't mean to give it away today, he meant to give it away if I pass, right? If I pass away. So typically, if there's no issue of the kinyan, etc., so the chachamim tell us, you have to listen to his word, accept his instructions. As we said before, the word of the Shchiv Mara is gold. We follow through, we implement it. But once we're deviating from the standard Shchiv Mara process, we're treating it like a regular legal document, in which case, the document is what activates the process. And in this case, where his mindset was to have the document activated after death, you can't activate a document after death. This fellow is stuck. So bottom line is, what pertains to our sugi is that we see that according to Rav, We use Umdana. We view it differently, entirely differently than Shmuel. We say, look, this shtar here, given by the Shchivara with a Kinyan, Alamailus, a column at Alamailus. He's trying to enhance it. He's trying to give the recipient everything he can get. All the advantages of a Bari, of a Shchivara. This actually allows the recipient to extract this field later, to collect on it, to be Maitzim Mamon. That's a Chiddush. So we see that Umdana. The fact that we assume that the Shchivara is trying to give him the best in the most effective way allows us to act upon it to the point that we could extract property. We allow him to collect on this shtar. So Rav holds of Umdana. How can you tell me otherwise? Right back to the Mishnah. Rav Azari says, if he divorces during engagement, she gets the base amount, but not the extra amount, because the extra, that was meant for marriage. We had Rav and Rav Nassim. One said, we go with the Shita. One disagreed. We don't paskin like this. The Gemara says, I can figure out who's who, because Rav Nassim is the one that likes Umdana. We work with mindset. We work with presumptions. And that's Rav Nazaria's track. The assumption is, I only gave it to her for marriage purposes. Whereas Rav apparently disagrees with this. She gets it regardless. We don't factor in the Umdana factor. But we do. According to Rav, Umdana plays a very pivotal role in how Bezdin views things. Elo says, the Gemara, you're right, Taravahu, both Rav and Rabbi Nassim, Azli Basa Umdana. Typically, they accept the Umdana factor and factor it into the process. So Manda Omar Halacha Shapur. So one of them too, Rav and Rabbi Nassim, who actually adopted Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah's Shita, which is based on Umdana, that works well. Manda Omar Ein Halacha, but the opposing Shita, who did not want to adopt Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah, it's not because he disagrees with the concept of Umdana. Hachanami Umdan Datu, actually just the opposite. This opinion is also based on Umdan. Meshimi Kruvi Datu. Why did I promise her the extra amount? Because of the Ikruva Data, because we were getting closer and closer. But Ikruva Le Data. The fact is, that happened as well. Even during engagement, we were getting closer emotionally, intellectually. We were getting closer to each other in preparation for the upcoming marriage. So the commitment of Tesefis Ksuba stands. So it's also based on Umdana. So bottom line is, both Rav and Rabbi Nassim accept the Umdana factor. And the question is, what is the assumption? What is the Umdana? Shall we assume that he specifically wanted to wait till after marriage? Or perhaps the engagement period as well is enough to activate the Tosefes Ksuba commitment as well. So how do we paskin? He asked Rav Chanina, he was sitting Kameda Rabbi Yana. In front of Rabbi Yana, he was coming, he was saying, Allah was on Azariah, that's how we paskin. She only gets the Kesefes later. Amalei, so Rabbi Yani wasn't so happy. He said, Puk, go outside, Kari, Karach, announce your halacha lebra to the outside. Don't say it in the Beis Medrash. We don't accept that. Ein halacha, Krab Lezer ben Azariah. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abdimi, Mishun Rabbeinu, in the name of Rav. Halacha, Krab Lezer ben Azariah. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Halacha, Krab Lezer ben Azariah. So Rav Nachman was quoting Shmuel, that we accept Krab Lezer ben Azariah, but Rav Nachman the day, Amar Rav Nachman himself, said, Ein halacha, Krab Lezer ben Azariah. When Ardoi in the Shiva, in the Ardoa place, they said, Mishmeder of Nachman, Amri, Halacha, Krab Lezer ben Azariah. Va'av agav, and even though the lot of Nachman, sort of cursed and negated, Va'amar, he said, his opinion was, Ein halacha, right? That's what we said before. He don't hold, Krab Lezer. So he used to say, Kal Dayana, any judge, the Doin, Krab Lezer ben Azariah, who follows through, who's Rav Lezer Shita and only allows the Isha to collect the Tesefes if the divorce occurred post-marriage, if he follows that halacha, it's terrible, hachi v'hachi dehavi, such and such should befall him. He was very uncomplimentary about taking on this Shita. Still, says the Gemara, afilu hachi, even so, halacha Krab Lezer ben Azariah, and the Gemara concludes, based on the Bnei Yeshiva at the time of the Gemara, v'halacha lemasa, the actual halacha is indeed Kerublezim and Azaria. So if they're divorced or he passed away during engagement, she gets the Ksuba. But regarding collecting Tesefes Ksuba, that has to wait until after marriage. So we learned about Tesefes Ksuba. It has a din Kiksuba. We had 14 ramifications where we treat the two as one and the same package. We had four cases. Machlekes between Pumbedisa and Mata Machasya. And the Gemara concludes that the point of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is based on Umdana. The Tanakhama is also based on Umdana. The question is, how do we interpret this fellow's mindset? Was he waiting until marriage or even engagement would suffice to give her the Tesefes Ksuba? The Maskana of the Gemara is, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Tesefes she only gets post-marriage. Hatzlacha Rabbah to you and B'surah is Tevye.